here in just a second with a few verses. I think that Paul's trying to teach us that the gospel and the truth of the gospel is something that is worth fighting for. So if you go back to chapter 1, he said in verse 1, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither of men, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father. And he goes in, he talks about his apostleship, and he was an apostle. There are no apostles today, but Paul was an apostle who gave himself for our sins, speaking about Jesus in verse number 4, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God our Father. And then he says, to whom be glory forever and ever, amen. But then he gets right into verse 6, and he doesn't beat around the bush, and he's going to come right at these Galatian believers, and he says this: I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. And so what Paul is going to do throughout the book of Galatians is he is going to defend the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In fact, the reason, the number one reason, or the number one purpose, or you could even say the number one occasion, however you want to say that, that Paul wrote this letter was to defend the truth of the gospel. Now, what was happening at Galatia is false teachers were coming in who were Jews, and they wanted the Gentiles to be circumcised in order to become a Christian. And Paul's like, whoa, wait a minute. So let me back up a little bit, because we covered this in Sunday school a few weeks ago. Some of you might get confused on this. Paul circumcised Timothy, but he did not circumcise Titus. The first time, let's see if you remember this, the first time that Paul really defended the truth of the gospel, anybody remember where it was? It's actually mentioned, it's alluded to in chapter 2 and verse 1. Then 14 years after I went up again on Jerusalem, Acts 15 is the Jerusalem Council. It was the same thing. These people were distorting the gospel, trying to bring legalism into the gospel, and Paul said, no. So he went there and he defended it in Jerusalem. He took Titus with him and a couple others as well. So they would go there and they would defend the gospel. Well, the same thing is happening here. So then some people ask, well, then how come did he circumcise Timothy, but he did not circumcise Titus? What's the difference? Well, the difference is simple. Timothy was a half Greek and a half Jew. If he circumcised Timothy, they would have access to go into the synagogue, even Timothy, because he was a circumcised Jew, and Paul would have somebody else go in there and share the gospel along with him. But he did not circumcise Titus. How come? Titus wasn't a Jew. Titus was all Gentile. So, and I mentioned this in Sunday school a while back, some people say this is a compromise of Paul. This is not a compromise of Paul. Paul was wise in doing what he did, and it actually helped further the gospel. Also, Paul is the apostle to what group of people? The Gentiles. But Peter was the primary apostle to who? The Jews. And so Peter never left Jerusalem. Paul was at Jerusalem, but he left, and we know he went on one missionary journey, then a second missionary journey, and then a third missionary journey, then he went over to Rome. So we've got these two men that really were great pillars of the church, which we read about also a few moments ago. Anyway, his first fight for the gospel was in Acts 15. Had not Paul fought for Christian liberty and the gospel, the church in the first century could have become an only Jewish sect. And they would have preached a mixture of law and grace. Is there to be any law mixed in with the gospel? No. There's not supposed to be. But because of Paul's courage to defend the truth, the gospel was kept pure from legalism, and then it was carried to the Gentiles, which, if you study the life of Paul, you find that he had great results. Now, in his first episode, at the Jerusalem Council, let's remember who he took with him. The first person he took with him is Barnabas. Now, I want to say a few words about Barnabas tonight. He was one of Paul's closest friends. And when Paul wanted to get into the fellowship of the Jerusalem church, you know who was the person that helped him get into the Jerusalem church? Barnabas. I think most of you know this, but I'll say it again anyway. So Caleb is my Old Testament Bible. You got to have Bible heroes, not counting Jesus. Okay, Jesus is the hero of the Bible. We already know that. So outside of Jesus, my Old Testament Bible hero is Caleb, and my New Testament Bible hero is Barnabas. And I'm going to try to show you why here. Barnabas was one of Paul's closest friends, and when Paul wanted to get into the fellowship with the Jerusalem churches, it was Barnabas who opened the way for him. Now, I want you to take your Bible there and go back to Acts chapter 9. And you know something? We should all have a little bit of Barnabas in us. And we should all desire to have some people like Barnabas in our lives. Look at verse 26. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples. But they were all afraid of him. Well, you know why they were afraid of him? He was having Christians murdered. He was breaking up homes. He was having them arrested. He even got special permission to go to Damascus and arrest the Christians. And so you would have probably been afraid of Paul also. Okay, so that's not a bizarre thing to read there, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. You're trying to tell us that Paul's a Christian? Now, yeah, I'm not buying that one. That's the modern Carpenter translation, all right? Now look at verse 27. But Barnabas took him. Praise the Lord for Barnabas, you know what? Praise the Lord for Barnabas, who doesn't look down their nose at somebody, doesn't hold things against anybody, says, hey, you come with me. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way. So now he was going to give a little bit of Paul's testimony. And that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem. So now Paul is there. You know what the word, you know what Barnabas's name means? Encouragement. And you will always find Barnabas encouraging somebody. Wouldn't it be great to be like Barnabas? Just encouraging people and encouraging people and encouraging people. That's the kind of guy that Barnabas was. Now you can turn over to Acts 11. When the gospel came to the Gentiles at Antioch, after it went there, it was Barnabas who was sent to encourage them in the faith. Look at verse 19 of Acts chapter 11. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which, when they came to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Now keep following along here. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was at Jerusalem. So the people at Jerusalem had heard what God was doing in Antioch. And they sent forth, who'd they send? Barnabas. That he should go as far as Antioch. Who, when he is Barnabas, came and had seen the grace of God, was glad, and notice what he did, exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. Barnabas is coming now. He's already encouraged Paul. He's encouraged the apostles to accept Paul. Now he goes from Jerusalem. He ends up in Antioch. And now he's going to encourage them. So Barnabas is an encourager. But if you have a highlighter, I want you to highlight verse 24. And if you ever give a devotion, this would be a good verse to use. This is the kind of man that Barnabas was. Ready? He was a good man. You know what the world needs more of? Just good men. Just good guys who do good, kind things for other people. That's the kind of guy that Barnabas was. He's the guy that would say, you know what? You've not had the best of life, Paul, but that's okay. You've accepted Jesus, and he's going to change you. And you're not going to be that same guy anymore, and I'm here to encourage you and be a blessing to you. Now, that's the kind of guy. He's just a good guy. Somebody needed something, he'd be there to help them. Somebody wanted something, if he could, he'd be there. Just a good, what do you think of when you think of a good man? I mean, that's the kind of guy Barnabas was. And then it said this, he was full of the Holy Ghost. So here's a man who is an encourager. Here is a man who is a good man. And here is the same man who is full of the Holy Spirit of God. He walked with the Lord. He understood the presence of God in his life, and he was filled, and he had the power of God on his life. Not only that, it says, and faith. So not only was he full of the Holy Ghost, but he was full of faith. He wasn't one of those guys that wavered and waffled back and forth to back and forth to back and forth. He just had faith. He knew what it meant to trust in the Lord with all of his heart and lean not on your own understanding. This is Barnabas. And quite frankly, this is why he's my Bible hero. I like his attitude. I like his spirit. I just like the guy. I can't wait to meet him when I get to heaven, if you want to know the truth. Then it says the last thing about him. And much people was added unto the Lord. You know what else he was? He was a soul winner. He pointed people to the Lord, and much people were added unto the Lord. Now, I got to tell you, if we had a church full of Barnabases, wouldn't it be awesome? I mean, here's a guy who's an encourager. Did you ever meet anybody who's the opposite of an encourager? You're like, okay, I don't want to be around him so much. But when you meet a Barnabas, that's the kind of guy you want to be around. Now, he's just a great guy. And from the earliest days of Barnabas, he was associated with the Gentile believers. And so he enlisted Paul to help out at the church of Antioch. That was chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. And then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. So now he's going to go get Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him into Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church. So now you've got Barnabas and Paul assembling themselves with the church at Antioch and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. By the way, these two worked together, but you know why they were called Christians first at Antioch? Because they were people that acted like a little Jesus. They said, you know, we take the name Christian as saying, well, he's a Christian. In other words, he just believes in Jesus. But that's not the original meaning of the word. The original intent or the original meaning of the word that those people act like Jesus. And so that was Barnabas. Then Barnabas was accompanied of Paul on his first missionary journey. Now, we're not going to read this, but the first missionary journey is chapters 13 and 14 of the book of Acts. And he saw God's hand at work in the gospel. He also encouraged John Mark. Do you know what John Mark did? He quit. He quit the ministry. Now, Paul didn't have the same attitude that Barnabas had. Paul was one of those type A personality guys, you know, over the edge a little bit. But that wasn't how Barnabas was. And so Paul was not happy that John Mark quit. In fact, the Bible says there was no small contention between Paul and Barnabas, meaning it was a pretty heated contention between Paul and Barnabas. So Paul decided, if you're going to bring John Mark, I'm not going with you. Barnabas is like, fine, I'm taking John Mark. And Paul ended up taking who? Silas. But the good thing was, and you know, God does work all things together for his own good. There was one missionary team. Now there's two missionary teams. So the work, more work was getting done. Now, later on in Paul's life, later on in his life, in second, you know what he said? He said, send on John Mark. He's profitable for me to the ministry. This is my opinion. I cannot prove this from Scripture. But it seems like Paul said, you know what? Barnabas did a pretty good job with John Mark. Send him over here. Now, that's the kind of person I'd like to be, a guy like Barnabas. There was another guy that came along, and that was Titus. Titus was a Gentile believer who worked with Paul, who Paul had won to Christ. He was the product of Paul's ministry among the Gentiles and was taken to Jerusalem conference as proof of God's hand on the Gentile churches. So later, 14 years earlier, Titus was one of those guys that went up to Jerusalem, and Paul used him as an eyewitness. He says, I want you to look at this young man right here, Titus. This is a man, a Gentile, who was saved but never got circumcised because he was not any Jew in him. And this is a man who got saved and his follower, and now he's profitable, and God is using him in the ministry. And later, Titus would assist Paul as he went to help solve problems in some of the very difficult churches that Paul had to minister to. Now, these three men that are mentioned here back in Galatians chapter 2 that we read about a little bit ago, Peter, John, and James, they were pillars in the Jerusalem church. So you've got Peter, you've got John, and you've got James, and that's the Lord's half-brother. Why do we say half-brother? That's right. Now, I was raised Catholic. And I was talking to Jason Kreger. His family was way more strict Catholic than our family. And still are, by the way. Did you know when they got married here, their parents would have had, they didn't come to their own son's wedding? And I went to talk to Mr. Kreger. I said, Mr. Kreger, we're not having a church service. It's a wedding ceremony. That's what it is. And it's your son. Nope. I'd first have to get permission from the bishop, the cardinal, and then the priest. Okay, that guy was a strict Catholic. Now, I was a Catholic, and we went to Mass all the time and religious instructions and all the sacraments that my age would allow me to keep. But we'd go to a wedding if it wasn't in a Catholic church. But not him. But anyhow, these three guys, so Jesus is the only, this is what Catholics believe, this is where I was headed. They believe in a continual virginity of Mary. Perpetual, she's a perpetual virgin. I don't know how they figure that out of the Bible, but that is what we were taught. I can tell you how. They don't read the Bible. Yeah. Marty is a Catholic. Did you ever read a page of the Bible?
They were taken away from me.
Oh yeah, that's right. We weren't allowed to read the Bible. I forgot. I never even tried.
Father would teach us everything that we need to know.
Yes, he would. And if the nuns didn't cover it, he would. And that's what we were taught. Don't read the Bible. And my mom, when she passed away, as far as I know, she was still a staunch Catholic. And I'm witness to her, and I said, Mom, here's what the Bible says. She says, Jeffy, I don't care what the Bible says. I care what the church says. That's exactly what she said. I will never forget that. Now, that's a sad thing, isn't it? So Titus goes, but these three guys, Peter, John, and James, the Lord's brother, they are pillars in the church. Peter is a prominent person in the gospel and half of Acts. Jesus gave Peter the right to work there. And John Mark also knew a lot in the gospels, and he is one of the inner, the apostle was also one of the inner three. Anyways, James was the son of Mary and Joseph. The Lord's brothers and sisters did not believe in him during his earthly ministry. I just mentioned that because it was in our text. So you can study those guys. Yet his brothers associated with the believers in the early church in Jerusalem once you get to Acts, the book of Acts. But they didn't believe in Jesus as Messiah before that. Anyway, I wanted to major on Barnabas tonight. Aren't you glad for the Barnabases? We have a couple families in our church. I'm discipling one myself. We have a, you're still working with Mary?
She hasn't wanted to start yet.
Okay. Well, hopefully Jeanette will be discipling her pretty soon. And then there's one other family that needs to be discipled. They're all new converts. And it's exciting to see new converts being discipled. And let's strive to be like Barnabas. Let's just strive to be that way. Let's try to be a good person, full of the Holy Ghost, an encourager, full of faith, and somebody who wins souls to Jesus. Wouldn't it be great to have a church full? Be awesome. Well, I want to pray, and then I want to read some missionary letters, and I want you to get your prayer list out here in just a moment as well. Father, I come to you, and I think about this guy, Barnabas. And, Paul is there to defend the faith. But he's got a guy that's going to help him. And it's Barnabas. And it's just a blessing to have these kind of men and women in the ministry. And I pray that every one of us would strive to have those three or four points that Barnabas had in his life in our own lives. That we would be an encourager. We would be filled with the Spirit of God. We would be people of strong, strong faith. And we'd be soul winners. We would tell others about Jesus. What a great guy. It's no wonder, really, that you used him the way you did. And I pray that you would use us as well. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, there is some updates with some missionaries I want to give you. And this put so you need to write these in next to your prayer list if Melissa didn't get them in there today.